All right, as you find your seat, Ephesians chapter 5 is where we are. You can do whatever you want. You turn your prayer bulletin over on the back, and there is an outline of what we're going to look at. I've got a brief little PowerPoint, not as detailed as what's on your prayer bulletin, so whatever works. Some folks don't like too much of detail. Others like a bunch. Now, after the service, it's kind of unofficial. It's been mentioned a few times here in the services. There are folks planning to get together and just relax. They brought in some food and stuff out of the activity center. I don't think they plan to be here till midnight. I don't know. Maybe they do. But anyway, if you would like to stay, you may have forgotten about it. It's okay. There's stuff out there. It's really about just being together with others. And so it's out in the activity center after the service, and you can join that group and have a time of fellowship there. All right, let me start reading here in Ephesians chapter 5, just some thoughts. Tonight, I know pastors and folks in pulpits all over the country tonight, and many churches have service tomorrow. They'll have it on New Year's Day evening, but the heart of those that are filling the pulpit is, oh Lord, help me to be a blessing, to help folks to challenge themselves for Jesus Christ in the coming year. We want to grow. We want to grow spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be better servants of the Lord. God's doing something. We want to be available and a part of what He's doing. And we want to be alert to what God is trying to speak to us about. And so let me start reading here in Ephesians chapter 5. Like any chapter in the Bible, there's stuff that went on before. We're going to look in just a minute there in chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. They're tied here to the beginning of the division here in chapter 5 and verse 1. But I'm just going to read the first 17 verses quickly. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And then the Lord's going to challenge us in a huge area. It's a battle in people's lives. It's going to be a battle in this coming year. You want to be victorious. Down in verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." It ought not to be common among God's people that there are instances of fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Down in verse 4, verse 3 is bad enough, but verse 4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting." We're going to talk about what that means in just a minute. "Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." What God wants us to be, people of worship that are thankful to God for who He is and what He's done. Thank you for your testimonies tonight. They were a blessing. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." This is should be a bone-chilling verse. I mean, the Lord is saying something scary here, and I believe He's trying to reveal what is in the hearts of men so that we know better how to pray and better how to encourage them. But verse number 5, that's a powerful verse. Down in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And we now have covered the things that we'll look at. We're going to finish in verses 10 through 17, but if you'll notice on your sheet, if you have that, there are three simple things we're going to look at. One, about being followers of God in 2020. Number 2, about being free from ourselves. Listen, the biggest problem you and I have, we just need to walk out front, look in the mirror. It's a little harder. We used to have a big, long mirror, and it was easy to see ourselves in it. Now you got to look in the slats. But just take a look, see who's looking back at you, and quit blaming the devil. He's good, but he's not that good. And he's getting blamed for a lot of stuff. When we talk about flesh, we're talking about self. And it's destructive, and it'll destroy our families, it'll destroy our church, it'll destroy our country, our community. And so we've got the issue of freedom from self. And then number 3, the blessing that helps us to follow God and be free from ourselves is the wonderful filling and the fruit of the Spirit, which is what is spoken of down in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm either going to live in the fruit of the Spirit, or in verse 11, the unfruitful works of darkness this year. This year, 2020, will be marked by those things. And down to verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And in verse 6, really the theme of what we're looking at tonight, redeeming the time. And how does a person redeem the time? Because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Of course, it's New Year's Eve, and I'd love to call your attention to the fact that 2020 is different than most years that we are living through. 2020 is a leap year. And in fact, Christmas Day will not be on Wednesday. It won't be on Thursday. It'll be on Friday, which will make a lot of people happy this coming year because of leap year. Things are going to leap forward just a little bit in 2020. And there's actually, in 2020, one extra day. Isn't that great? There'll be 366 days. And if you rent, you get one day on your landlord, your car note and your house note. It's great. Many years ago, there was a man who was a multimillionaire, and he was dying. A lot of his family had come in. And they were there at his bedside, and someone heard him whisper under his breath that he would give every penny that he had, and it was significant. It was hundreds of billions of dollars. He would give every penny that he had for one more healthy day of life. Soon after he said those things, he passed into eternity. I don't know if he's a saved man or an unsaved man. I would guess that he was an unsaved man. I think about the fact about that millionaire and that he would give anything for that. And every one of us in this room, more than likely, will receive in this coming year one extra day of life, 366 days in this coming leap year. And how do I do what the Bible says down in verse number 16, where it says redeeming the time because the days are evil? How does a person redeem the time? What does that mean? Well, the Lord divided up here three simple areas for us to look at. And the first one is the issue of being a follower of God. And let me read that over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, because I believe that if you look at the Bible carefully, you look what came before and you look what came after, that's called context, and then you seek to look at the Bible, unless it's clear that God did not mean for it to be taken literally, to do your best to take it literally, it's very easy to understand what God is saying if you have His Holy Spirit within you to help you. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And so, what is the Lord saying to me? How does He want me to follow Him? Well, He wants me to imitate Him just like a little child. This last year, something happened over here in the lobby. Our folks love to come in and greet one another, have a great time. Some move on to their other stations. Zach Dexheimer was in the lobby, and little Ian was in the lobby. And Zach's mom got on him, tie your shoes! Zach's shoes are often untied. But anyway, they were untied, and his mom got on him. And so he knelt down in the lobby to tie his shoes. Ian and Zach are buddies, you know. Zach's much older, but Ian is always watching Zach, plus the other boys and girls. And he looked over and saw Zach kneel down, carefully tying his shoelaces. And he got down on the floor, just like Zach, and he started tying. There was only one small complication. He did not have shoes on. All he had was socks. But whatever Zach was doing, he was doing it, and he was doing it very well for a guy his age. I thought he just didn't understand what Zach was doing. The Lord says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1 that he wants me to imitate him. He just said it. Be ye therefore fathers of God. How? As dear children. Just like a child watches what their parents do or what their parents don't do, and they respond and they learn about life from watching, and God has given them a mind and heart that's like a sponge. I mean, they pick up everything. And sometimes parents look over and they see things that their child is picking up, and they get upset with their child, and then they realize, wait a minute, I do that. And so they see themselves. It's a mirror. But I tell you what, if you seek to follow the Lord and imitate Him in 2020, everything will be good. It will not be, there's nothing bad that you can find in the Lord. Now, down in verse number 2, the Lord did not leave me in the dark as the ways in which He wants me to follow or to imitate Him. It says, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let me read that again, because sometimes, you know, we've had a lot of Christmas, we had a lot of food that we shouldn't have eaten, and we had a lot of sweets, and we're all out of schedule, and we're still trying to figure out, is this Wednesday? What is today? And I know I was sitting at the table on Thursday morning. We were in Greenville, Spartanburg area there with Philip and Tabitha. We had spent Christmas Day with them, and I was sitting there thinking, tomorrow's Saturday. And I thought, wait a minute, it's not Saturday. Christmas was yesterday. It was Wednesday. Today's Thursday. I just finally gave up and had breakfast. But anyway, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, and walk in love. Pay attention. The Lord wants me to follow Him by walking in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He wants me to walk in love, but let me be careful here. Your first thought may be warm and fuzzy. That's so wonderful. I want to walk in love more in 2020. The Lord is not talking about the romantic love that in just a month or two here, Valentine's Day, in fact, it'll be the Friday of our revival meeting. He's not talking about warm and fuzzy or romantic love. The love that the Lord is talking about is the way in which He loves people. And what is that? It is to love someone with an understanding that those folks cannot return that love. We do a lot of things in life. We do things for our friends because we want to be friendly and we want to be thought of as friends. And we also want to say, well, one day I may need them to return that. And so, you know, I'm friendly to them and I help them. I love them. And I pour myself into them, but one day I may need them. So yeah, it's in the back of our mind. We're human beings. That's the way we work. But the Lord never did anything for me for the purpose of receiving something back from me. I mean, He has poured Himself into me. He has died for folks that will never receive Him, that will never turn to the Savior and be saved and will spend eternity in hell. And yet Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But He wants me to walk in the same way. This is not a warm and fuzzy love. This is a love that pours itself into others without any desire of return. Please let that go through the fog. Please let that get through. We're not talking warm and fuzzy. Sometimes I'm here and people give testimonies and I feel warm and fuzzy. When our Christmas cards came in and people that, you know, we have some lost touch with, and it was so great to get a card from, oh, they're out in Pennsylvania now, that's great, or they're doing this now, folks who were here in the ministry, and what a joy to reconnect with them. And you feel warm, and that's not it. This is a willful purpose of loving people who you understand are not able, capable of returning what you're doing. There's a few verses we ought to look at. One is in Luke chapter 6 and verse 33. Luke chapter 6 and verse 33. Brother Cornelius had mentioned Bob Jones and the founder of that college, Bob Jones Sr., many years ago, when he was still on this planet. His early days of ministry, had a national and international ministry, preached great revival meetings, citywide revival meetings, tremendous meetings. To this day, some of those communities are still affected by the preaching of God's word from those days, which goes back into the 20s, you know, the 30s. It's incredible. But he had gotten on this kick, and that was that every morning he had read something about that you could live to be 100, and he wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to preach God's word. The Lord was blessing and using him. And so he picked up on this, that every morning get up and immerse yourself in a cold bath. And if you do that every morning the rest of your life, you'll probably live to be 100. I don't know how they figured that out, but anyway, he had read it and he had started doing it. Until one morning, he was up in Indiana, it was below zero, and the hotel that they had put him up in, even though it had a heater and stuff in his room, it was still very cold. And when he got the water going, there's just something about cold water on a cold day. And he looked at that tub of water and he said this, "I don't care if I live to be 100. And he let the water out of the tub. But he, you know, he lost the will to live to be 100. He didn't make it, by the way. And he was in his 80s when he passed away, went home to be with the Lord. He lost the will to do it. This love is a love that wills yourself through the power and control of the Holy Spirit to love people that don't deserve your love, to love people that cannot return your love. And the Lord says, "I want you to be like me. I want you to imitate me." And in, I think it's good to know, this is a principle throughout the Bible. In Luke 6 and verse 33, it says this, "And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." They've not been changed by God. They've not been changed by salvation. And they do those things. Why do you think you're any different? He says down in verse 32, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." And so what are we looking for? We're looking for to walk in love, to be followers of the Lord. Now, the Lord got even more specific. And, you know, the Lord has a way of doing that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31, 30, 31, 32, it's not like these don't belong. They all go together. It's one letter. It's one book. And these explain chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 by going up to what went before. And over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." You want to have a struggle throughout 2020, then ignore the leading and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Try to go on into this year without the help of God's Holy Spirit. It says down here in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you." And so, to walk in love, to will to love, God's way is in literal forgiveness. That's hard. It's hard to do. Listen, I realize that there may be folks in this room that you've never been seriously wronged. And there are folks in this room have been incredibly wronged. The people that wronged them should be in prison. They're not in prison. The people that have wronged them, you know, should have been called for what they did. They weren't called for what they did. And they live often daily with memories of those things, that the wrongs that were done. And do you know what God says about that? God says, "I don't want you to live the life of a victim. I want you to be a follower of God," in verse 1. "I want you," in verse 2, "to walk in love. I want you to be different. I want you to choose in your will, with the power and truth of the word behind you, because this is God's will. I want you to redeem the time by not wasting your life in bitterness and in clamor," that's the noise of anger, "and evil speaking and malice, hoping that person, rejoicing, gloating when somebody, when something bad happens to them. Well, they're getting paid back for what they did." And no, the Lord says, verse 32, "I want you to be kind one to another." And how can I do that? Even if God, verse 32, "for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so God has forgiven me. I caused the death of his son, Jesus Christ, through my lies, my deceit, my wickedness, my lust, my covetousness, caused Jesus Christ to be nailed to a cross, his blood to be shed. And the Lord says, listen, I want you to forgive as I have forgiven you. Well, look on to the next thing there in number two, the wonderful freedom from self. And that's in verses 3-7. I would just like to emphasize again, you do not realize what is going on in your life. We like to use the word, God uses the word flesh, and it sounds bad and evil, and we know that we are human beings, we are in flesh, we are fallible, we have tremendous inconsistencies in our lives. We deal with sin daily, and we confess those sins, and we make them right with God. We walk on, they're under the blood, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has already paid for those sins, but he asked us to come and confess them, to agree with him that they're wrong. He's asking us to do that, and we do it, and then we move on with our lives. But flesh is selfishness. Flesh is selfishness. Look at the things that are produced, the selfishness. Down in verse 3, but fornication. I also say this, I appreciate you running it through your mind there, all right? Running it through your mind. And that is this. Probably the greatest evidence of selfishness is sexual sin. Recently, there was a famous figure skater. He competed in the Olympics. He makes a living by, of course, promoting different things. He gets all kinds of salaries. He also teaches up-and-coming skaters in he and his wife their skating rink. And he met a young lady, a very young lady, a teenage girl, and he took an interest in her. Now, obviously, you would think, oh, I tell you, I'm sure that he had her best interest at heart as he developed a relationship with her. He was probably thinking, you know, down the road, she will meet a wonderful young man, and she will fall in love, and they'll decide to marry, and they will raise a family together. And he wasn't thinking that. He was married to a woman himself. He sent some awful pictures of himself to that young lady. Somebody intercepted them, and they were very wise. They informed the parents, and they also, at the same time, informed the authorities. They had an obligation to report what was going on. They made sure the parents knew it. They made sure, oh, I'll tell you what, this guy, he pressured that young lady to deny these things, any evidence there to get rid of it, of what he had done. You know, the folks that reported that did a wonderful thing. They saved probably that young lady, maybe from herself. She was a young lady. She didn't understand a lot about life. This man is interested in her. And here's this guy. He's stroking his ego plus his lust with this young lady. And it was stopped before it got to the point that he would probably spend about 20 years in prison, and she would be marked the rest of her life by having been involved with this guy. It was the height of selfishness. It was also selfish of the young lady, because she knew very well the wife of this man, and she was selfish toward their marriage. Immorality is the height of the flesh and selfishness. And the Lord says in verse 3, I don't want you to be a selfish person. I want you to be free from selfishness. But fornication, which is an all-encompassing word in the Bible for sexual sin, it can be pornography, it can be two people that are not married to anyone who have a physical relationship together, but fornication and all uncleanness, that's just a dirty mind and a dirty attitude and dirty actions. You know, there are people that you may be related to or friends with that you came across at Christmas time again in different settings, maybe at work or in the neighborhood. There were get-togethers, and again you thought, oh, I hope I don't have to be with them again till this time next year. And why? Because you're embarrassed to be around them. You hate to hear the things that they're saying, the innuendo, the jokes that they make. In fact, the Lord goes on and says, let it not be once named among you as becometh a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And that has to do with just a dirty mind and a dirty mouth and a dirty message coming from your heart of what you are dwelling on. It's coarseness. We live in a coarse age. The Lord says, I don't want you to be coarse. I don't want you to pick up the jokes of the world. I don't want you to pick up the attitudes. And like, I teach young people in our Christian school, and I preach in the services here. We have many visitors of all different stripes and types. And every so often in preaching, you'll come across a word, and I'll know, I just hit a chord of something that right now must be considered dirty. Because there's a giggle that comes from, and you realize, I must have hit something here. But you know what the Lord says? I'd like for you to be ignorant of those things and those words. And so it's the ultimate in selfishness, fornication, uncleanness, coveting someone else, their mate, coarseness. And in fact, if you'll go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, this is a powerful thing. Perhaps you are struggling right now. You know, we have our Conqueror series, and the last in that series is coming up in mid-January for our men's prayer breakfast, and we meet 30 minutes before for those that want to participate at 8 o'clock on that Saturday, mid-January. The last in that series, we'll probably pick up the second half of that series next year, about the same way we did this year. But in Matthew, chapter number 5 in verses 28 to 30. Let me get over there myself. I think it's good to see what the Lord says about the selfishness of immorality. It says in verse 27, "You have heard that it was paid by them of old, said, I'm sorry, that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Verse 28, the Lord says, my standards are a tad higher than what you're thinking. "But I say unto you that whosoever lusteth on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And we live in a day in which our commercials 10 years ago, 15 years ago would have been considered pornographic, that you wouldn't have sent them through the mail. You could have been prosecuted. Today, they're every hour of the day, they're on TV. But the Lord says in verse 29, verse 30, and I think it ought to make you as a believer say, Lord, help me get my flesh under control by your Holy Spirit. He says that, verse 29, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Three times. He's talking about a connection between sexual sin and hell. Are you saying, preacher, are you saying that a person can lose their salvation because that person got involved in immorality? No, we don't believe that. We believe that once a person receives Jesus Christ, they become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But we also saw on Wednesday nights here just a few weeks ago in 1 John chapter 3 that believers do not continue in that sin. And when I have a loved one who lives in sin, I love them and I pray for them. But I know that I need to change my prayer life. I need to pray for their soul. I need to pray for them to be saved. Because there is evidence there that that person is not saved. It appears frequently throughout the Bible. And the Lord seems to say it over and over again back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 5. We just finished verse 4. This is chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Those are serious words. And so tonight, as I, as a believer, face the challenges of this coming year and temptation and all the things, it only gets worse and worse. I might ought to say, wait a minute, you know, the Bible says some pretty rough things about this area of life, and I'm a saved person. I love the Lord. I don't want these things to touch my life, and I want to be free from those things. It is a serious warning. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, let me read that. The Lord has a place for the wonderful relationship between a man and a woman. And it's holy and good and righteous. The Lord says so many good things about it. You can find it in 1 Corinthians 7. You can find it in Proverbs chapter 5, the sweet relationship between a husband and wife. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. God invented the physical relationship between a man and a woman. But he says in verse 4, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Again, we here in our church, we've dealt with situations where people have done wrong. They've gotten right. That's a good sign. We've dealt with situations where people didn't get right, and that's a bad sign. It's not a good sign. And so I want to be free from myself. And that's what the Lord says here. I want you to be free. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We have one last thing here, and it's found in chapter 5 in verses 9 through 17. It has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. And so what I'm going to need here to redeem the time is the wonderful work of God's Holy Spirit. And he got very specific here in verse 9 in a section of Scripture in which he's talking about redeeming the time in verse 16. And in the specifics in verse 9 say this, for the fruit of the Spirit, and he could have listed all of the fruit of the Spirit if he had chosen to, but he emphasized three areas. And as I redeem this extra day in 2020, this leap year, I want to make sure that the fruit of the Spirit is evident in these areas of my life. Goodness and righteousness and truth. He has emphasized three important areas. The only way they're produced is through the control of the Holy Spirit. But there's goodness. And tonight, God wants me to be good to folks. Goodness is just a seeking the best for others, seeking to be kind to others, seeking to be good to others, to be able to anticipate. This time of year, it's always amazing to me. I have family members, and as they pick gifts, in fact, some of them are grandchildren, and it's humbling to have your grandchild give you a gift, and you think, oh, I wish you hadn't spent your money on me, and, you know, listen, you, and, but, you know, it's very interesting to see that they have thought through what might be a good gift, and they have chosen that, and so it makes it all the more special, but, you know, when I see that, it speaks to my heart about the issue of goodness in the Bible. Lord, I want to be good to people. Lord, please help me as I deal with other human beings, whether saved or unsaved, whether fellow believers or unbelievers. Lord, help me to be good to them. Help me to seek the best for them and to be kind and good to them. That matters. Throw the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness. We're talking about redeeming the time. Be good. Be good to others. Be kind to others. Think before you speak. And your actions, be careful. The second thing he emphasizes is righteousness, and that is righteousness has the emphasis in the Bible of doing what is right, but it particularly has to do with doing right by others. God always does what's right, and he has definitely done what is right by us. He has found a way in which his holiness, his righteousness, his justice can be satisfied even though we have grossly violated God's law that he so simply laid before us. And yet we've violated all of it and we've run roughshod over it. And yet God found a way that he could be satisfied, and he has decided that Jesus Christ is a propitiation, a suitable substitute sacrifice for the ways in which we have wronged him, and he has accepted it. And now he is asking us to accept it. He has done right by us. And God says, I want you to do right by others. And if you want to redeem the time, do right by others. Do right. The last one is the truth, which is just live in the light. Don't live in a dream world. You know, we live in a world in which people, because of television, they've immersed themselves in it. They carry it on their phone or their tablet. And you know, you're in waiting rooms, and it's everywhere. The TV is everywhere, and it's on. And they're living in a dream world. And God says, I want you to live in a dream world. I want you to live in the truth. I want you, he says, to walk in the light. Verse 10, proving what that is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Don't live in secret. Don't live in darkness. Don't live in deception. Walk in the light. I often think many years ago about what someone said, I hate tax time, and we're at it. All right, we got a new year to do our taxes here. And it can be very complicated the older you get. They always say about you never know when you turn it in if you're a patriot or a criminal. You know, you just don't know. You turn that thing in to the government, punch a button, and it goes. But taxes, a terrible thing. Someone once said, you know, if you actually are honest, if you actually do what is right, you don't have anything to worry about. One of my favorite things to do is when a siren is coming on a service, maybe it's an ambulance or sheriff's vehicle or highway patrol, you never know, come roaring by, someone pulls in and walks in the door, always like to say, hey, run and hide, I won't tell them you're here, all right? And just to see their response, it's fun. But anyway, I need to do right by others, don't I? All right, but I kind of enjoy doing that. But the truth is, isn't it? Most often they laugh. I'm waiting for the day somebody runs and I, thank you, preacher, that I'm going to be really wondering what I'm supposed to do. But we got a church full of cops. I'll just go to them and ask them. But anyway, hey, you know what? They ran. You might want to check into that. But, tonight, if you don't have anything to worry about, you laugh when the preacher says, run and hide. I won't tell them you're here. You don't have anything to worry about. And the Lord says, I want you to live a life in the light, in truth. That's how you redeem the time, through the wisdom of God and through doing the will of God. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You stayed with me. I appreciate that tonight. It's hard to do in the season that we're in here. And I'm glad you're here tonight. Denise is coming to the piano. And as we love to do in every service, is give folks an opportunity to, if they've never been saved or tonight they doubt their salvation, maybe they go into 2020 and they say, you know, I was in anguish in 2019. I wasn't sure about my salvation. We'd love to invite you to come tonight. Let me get you with someone who can sit down, talk these things through, open the scriptures. The Bible commands us to examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith. And you're not a fool tonight as you leave 2019 to do that. If you're here and you say, preacher, I know that I'm not saved. I've been living a fabrication. I've never come to Christ. I've never repented of my sins. I've never put my faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. Then tonight come, let me get you to sit down with someone that can take the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and open the scriptures and go over God's simple plan of salvation. Let's get it settled as we leave 2019 and walk into 2020 with wonderful confidence and the joy of the assurance of our salvation. You may be here tonight and you need to deal with some things. Hey, you wouldn't be alone. Are you following the Lord? Are you redeeming the time? Are you going to waste another year in bitterness and anger and an incredible unforgiving spirit and just see life go through your fingers? Are you here tonight? You're living deceit. You need to come clean with some things with the Lord, and then you may need to go to others and come clean with those things. Come on and make things right with God. There may be other issues. You come. Father, we're glad to be here tonight. We miss those that aren't with us. Many are traveling. Some have left town. They were home for Christmas. They were with us last week. They weren't with us this week. We miss them. We pray for their safety and good health, and that soon they'll be able to be back with us as we start this new year together. But we're glad to be here tonight. And we pray, Father, if there is one person here, boy or girl, man or woman, teen, they are not sure that if they died, they'd go to heaven. Lord, help them to come and deal with those issues tonight in this place. Lord, as believers, we don't want to leave 2019 with a bunch of burdens, a bunch of guilt, things on our heart that need to be left at an old-fashioned altar. Maybe someone needs help. May they come and let me know. We'll get somebody to pray with them. Maybe they just need to come. It's between you and them. Help them to come tonight and leave those burdens at an old-fashioned altar and walk out with nothing between their soul and the Savior in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.